chapter 5, I want to read verse 12 through 21. Not that we're going to spend a lot of time here. We'll be back in a moment. But just as far as having a text and setting the place for tonight's lesson, Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by man, one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We find in this passage of Scripture that it was by man that sin entered into the world. You ever wondered where sin came from? Blame it on man. It was by man, one man's sin, that sin entered into the world. We find in this passage of Scripture, by one man's sin, all men died. You wonder why everyone has to die one day? You wonder why man is dead? Spiritually, because of one man's sin, that man being Adam. In one man's sin, all became and are sinners. But death is passed upon all, not because of Adam's sin in and of itself, but death passed upon all, for all have sinned. So you are a sinner by nature, because you're of Adam's seed. But you can't blame Adam for your sinful condition, because you're also a sinner by practice. By one man, his name is Jesus Christ, righteousness and justification and grace, salvation come. By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that dead spiritual condition that you got from Adam is turned to life. And that dead spiritual condition that you got by your own sins is also turned to life. Tonight, we're going to look at the fall of man. What we believe about the fall of man. And we're not necessarily talking about the fall of a man, though a lot of our thoughts will be in that direction. But we're talking about the fall of man, mankind. We're talking about how all mankind has fallen and how that happened. We're going to look at what we believe and what the Bible teaches about the way man was created, the way mankind was created and intended, and about how mankind fell and all became sinners. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. First part of tonight's subject states that we believe man was created in holiness under the law of his Maker and was in communion and fellowship with God. That's the way man started. He was created in holiness. He was created under the law and the commandments of God. And when he was created, he was in perfect harmony and communion and fellowship with God. That's how God began with man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We believe man was created in holiness. Created in the image of God does not mean he facially looked like God. I don't think it means particularly that God had a body and has a body and man was created with a body like him. God's a spirit, so we know he didn't have a body, doesn't have a body. We believe that when man was created, he was created in the image of God, in that he was God's representative upon the earth and among the creation. And in the image of God means he was created with the likenesses of God. He was created in holiness. That's hard to fathom. But man originally was holy. Like his creator, he was created in an innocence, in a state of innocence. He was created sinless, without any sin. In the image of God, like we heard earlier today, means that we have the likenesses of God and the attributes of God and the things of God. God said, "Let us make man holy, innocent, sinless." Man was not created without the ability to sin, but he was created without sin. He was created in innocence. We believe man was created in holiness. Under the law of his Maker. Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments. And people think, well, that's The first place you find God giving man any rules and regulations. But long before the Ten Commandments were given, man was created in holiness under the law of his Maker. Man was created in holiness and innocence, and he was created under some rules and regulations and expectations that God had for him. As we continue to read here in Genesis 1, now verse 28, "And God blessed them," man and the woman. "God said unto them," now notice here, he immediately says unto them, "This is what I expect. These are what your duties are. These are my commandments to you. If you would, these are the laws that I expect you to obey." "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold," not just that it was good, but God qualifies it, "he saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." That's God's opinion according to God's standard of measurement. He created man originally in holiness and innocence, and man was created under the commandments and the instructions of God, the expectations of God, and God saw it all, and it was good. It was good. In chapter 2 of Genesis, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." God took the man and put him in the garden to work. It wasn't a laborious work. It wasn't a toiling, as some might describe it. But it was with duty. He was placed in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And notice what verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." In chapter 3, verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Man was created in holiness. In these things, in the image of God in holiness and innocence and sinlessness. He was created under the law and the commandments of his maker and his creator. And he was in communion and fellowship with God. That thought of his being created in communion and fellowship with God is why we read these verses in chapter 3, verse 8 through 11 in particular. Because now that man has sinned, broken the instructions and the commandments of God, he's lost something. He's lost that harmony. He's lost that communion. He lost that fellowship. He was created in holiness and innocence under the rules and the regulations that God gave him. And he had perfect fellowship with God. I think the implication is God could come down into the garden. However he did that, in however form, he could come down and commune with Adam and Eve. They had that perfect communion and fellowship. But once they sinned, that was all lost. Now they're hiding from God. Now there isn't any longer that perfect communion and fellowship. So don't spend a lot of time blaming God for sin. Don't spend a lot of time blaming God for the effects of sin. Because God made man holy and innocent in his own image. And God created man to walk with him, to commune with him, to fellowship with him. And man sinned and ruined all of that. We believe man was created in holiness under the law of his maker and was in communion and fellowship with God. But by voluntary transgression, fell from that happy, blessed state. By his voluntary transgression. And we read a little bit about that. Here in chapter 3, verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. A great mystery of the scripture is how did this all fall out? Where was Adam? Where was Eve? As the serpent came and was beguiling Eve, where was Adam? And what did Adam know? And what did Adam see? And what did Adam hear? What is the sequence here when it tells us she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, then she gave it to her husband? How quickly did that happen? I don't reckon it's really important. Because the point is, Adam and Eve both willingly, both voluntarily took of that forbidden fruit and they fell from the holy, happy state that they were created in. And it doesn't matter what kind of fruit it was. It doesn't matter if it was an apple or a pear or watermelons that grew on trees. It was forbidden. It was restricted. And God placed man under that ordinance. This tree, this fruit, you're not to eat of it. Along came the serpent and beguiled Eve. And Eve took of it and gave it to her husband. And voluntarily man fell from that holy, happy state. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, that would be corrected to 1 Timothy. Verse 11 through 15. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For, or because, Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. There are many and loud protests against the limitations set upon women, as though they are no longer placed upon women. But I say to you, they're still placed upon women. And if that bothers you and that upsets you, remember what caused it all. It was their disobedience to God, and the consequences will not be removed until I would think of the millennial kingdom or even the eternal ages as they began. But this passage in 1 Timothy says, Adam was not deceived. In some form or fashion, as Satan came to beguile her, Eve was deceived. Why does it tell us Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived? Because God wants to make very plain that Adam voluntarily, not by deception, it's usually put this way, Adam wasn't deceived. He sinned with his eyes wide open. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was created in holiness under the law of his Maker and in perfect communion and fellowship with God. But he voluntarily transgressed the word and the will of God and fell from that happy, holy state. In consequence of which, all mankind are sinners. Not by constraint, but by choice. Man voluntarily transgressed and fell from his happy, holy state, and in consequence to his willing, voluntarily taking of that forbidden fruit, all of mankind became sinners. So when we talk about the fall of man, and we say we're not talking about the fall of a man necessarily, but we're talking about the fall of mankind. Because Adam was the first man, and from Adam all men have come. So we can't come from Adam and be different from Adam. Adam willingly fell into sin, Consequently, every seed, every man, woman that comes through Adam is fallen. See, the fall of man, the disobedience, the willful disobedience of Adam in taking of that fruit had severe consequences. That's why it's still in effect today. That's why we're still living on a sin-cursed world. Remind yourself of that. Why is the world in the shape it's in? Why are things happening the way they're happening? Why does it look like the world's falling apart? Because the world is laboring under the consequence of a curse. God placed a curse upon all of the creation when they fell, and that curse is still in place today. If you want testimony, if you want proof, if you want record that sin is a serious thing, look at the world and be reminded it's because of that curse that God placed upon every bad thing, every negative thing is because of the curse we're laboring under. The very weeds that grow in our yards, the very weeds that grow in our gardens are testimony to how serious sin is in its consequence. Because God placed all of creation under a curse. And that curse will not be lifted until the time of the regeneration. It will not be lifted until the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where everything is going to be new. So we're still there. You want to understand why? Put the blame where it belongs. Put the blame on Adam. Put the blame on man. And put the blame on the curse that this earth labors under. I don't understand why it's this way. I don't understand why this happens. I don't understand why it has to be that way. Understand, we're under a curse. God placed man in a garden. All he had to do was name the plants and name the animals and enjoy, maintain the order, if you would, do his duty. But he disobeyed God. And God kicked man out of the garden. God placed a curse upon the man. God placed a curse upon the woman. God placed a curse upon the earth. That's still in place to this hour. All mankind are now sinners. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 5, where we were earlier. Verse 12 and 13. We're talking about, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners. Not by constraint, but by choice. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, that's where it came from, and death by sin, and so death passed upon who? How many? All men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Chapter 18, or verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, all who are in Christ, who enter Christ, receive Christ. In Adam all die. Romans 3 tells us all have sinned. All are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have that sin nature through Adam. You have that sinful practice of your own wickedness. You're dead in your trespasses and sins in consequence to the fall of man that we find in the book of Genesis, the first few chapters. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. All they had to do was live. But they sinned, and as soon as they sinned, they died. They died spiritually, and they brought death physically into the world. So we believe man was created in holiness under the law of his Maker and was in communion and fellowship with God, but by voluntary transgression fell from that holy, happy state, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners, not by constraint, but by choice. Why do you need to be saved? Because man is fallen. Because of the fall of man, all men are sinners. Jesus Christ makes alive. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and live. We'll stop there. I don't know if we'll pick up in a couple weeks the remaining couple statements.